Good morning and welcome to Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. And if you have your red book, be turning to page 354. We're going to sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus. We're singing 1 and 2. Take anything to Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. You know that?
Amen.
You know, we think about the prayer requests and the praise items that we've mentioned over the time periods here, the Wades, the Smiths, the Wagners, and Tammy, and my son-in-law's mother, Diane, and the McCoys, and that Nanette, and her husband, Gary, and Donna, and Walt's family. And we'll add one more. Maggie is not feeling good. She's got the stomach flu. So just keep her in thought and prayer. And as we walk around, you know, as Jim mentioned about, you know, the things going on in this world, there's a lot of things we don't have control over. You know that? And that sometimes it aggravates us. Like, you know, we won't control this and control that. And I love to help people out. I love to share things with people, but sometimes people just don't want to listen. And you can stomp your feet and kick against the pricks and all that stuff, but you know something? You just gotta be faithful to the Word of God and faithful to who you are in Christ Jesus. And we know what the end comes, the outcome of all this is going to take place. You know, there's not going to be no peace on this earth until Lord Jesus Christ comes back. You guys know that.
Amen.
And that's a age over in here when he comes back and sits up in his thrones. And I'm going to share this with you right quick. This ain't the message or anything, but when the Lord Jesus Christ sits on the throne for 1,000 years, he's ruling with a rod of iron. Does that sound like peace and tranquility?
People be fine.
Yeah, you know, people still going to be upset and stuff out here in this Gentile world and all the nations and stuff. So, you know, I don't know if you ever thought about that or not, because the God of this world that seems to be in control, he seems like he's ruling with a wrought iron too right now, right? Trying to keep you doing this and doing that. But for those who are listening and those that are here today, just keep the people that we're thinking about in thought and prayer. Anybody else that I'm...
My sister Tammy.
I mentioned Tammy, yeah. But Thanksgiving's coming up. And you're going to be around some people hopefully you're around your family members, and what a great opportunity it is to just share some, before you get a bite of turkey, you know, before they get that pumpkin pie, let them know who Christ Jesus is. And, you know, hopefully they do, and they see that through you, and seeing that this message is changing your life. I know it has changed mine over the years, and it's continuing to change it, hopefully to the good, you know. But anyway, we know that to be true. Those in Christ Jesus, you're perfect in Him. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
But in this flesh, we're imperfect people trusting a perfect Savior. So that's something we really need to think about. I know there's trials and tribulations out there right now. It seems like it's never ending. But, you know, sometimes if you cut this off or cut that off and you open this up and, you know, you concentrate on who you are and your family and stuff, it makes a difference, don't it? You know, when you don't flip that TV on and then all of a sudden, boom, you know, here we go again, that type of thing. But your faith and what you believe is always has been an attack. And it will continue to be an attack. You believe, you use a King James Bible, oh, that's too hard to understand. You believe in Christ Jesus that He died for you, oh, that's too easy. You believe in the grace message, oh, there's no grace, you know, there's law. And that type of thing. There's always going to be something that's opposite, or trying to attack your thought ways. Because right here's the battleground. Is it 8 pounds of gray mass between your ears? That's the battle. That's where your spirit is. Renew your mind is your spirit. And if you don't renew that and stay in the Word, it's going to affect some things. And so if I can encourage you at all, and you're encouraging me, is just stay with the program. Just, you know, it's hard sometimes. And when you, you know, when your spouses and family and stuff like that, you know, for them to be saved is a wonderful thing. Amen?
Amen.
You know, because the Bible says to have all men to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. Well, that's God's will, to have all men to be saved and come. But you know something? We know all men's not going to be saved. And we know they're not all going to come to knowledge of truth. And we know that some are going to be saved and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, Bible talks about, Paul talks about ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of truth. And that's something I want you to think about today as we go through some of the things that Stephen was dealing with the nation Israel. And you may see that, ever learning and never able to come to knowledge of truth. I met people all the time, ever learning and never able to come to knowledge of truth. And, you know, that's discouraging. That you're looking at them in the eye, I said, if you could only see what the Bible's saying. If you only open your eyes. So keep us in thought and prayer as we continue to share the gospel of the grace of God, and it's what's needed. Let's go to a word of prayer. Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for the things you've given us. And as we think about the list of people that we've mentioned, and even more that's on our heart and mind, Lord, that we know that we're coming into a time period of thanksgiving, as far as a believer, we should be thankful every day. We should be lifting you up every meal and all. So we know that we're coming into seasons that a lot of people will concentrate on money, on gifts, on all this stuff. And we just know that the greatest gift that was ever given to mankind is the day that your Son died for us and was buried and rose again. Let us think about that always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lesson 27, Fundamentals of Dispensationalism. If you are, I know your markers in Romans chapter 11 and get Acts chapter 7. And we left off talking about the stumbling and talking about, we talked about there's a stumble, then there's a fall, and then there's a diminishing, okay? And there's and during this time of this stumbling, the nation Israel, is the fact that there is a renewed opportunity of repentance given to that nation in the earlier part of the book of Acts. And so they stumble there at the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they did. God the Father honored that prayer, answered that prayer for Jesus Christ, because he did forgive them for crucifying him, if you think about it. Otherwise, death and torment and over here was coming down the road. So they are stumbling, but they're not falling yet. So I'm going to close this timeline up. We always talk about rightly dividing the word of truth. We talk about three divisions, but there's twofold programs. Prophecy deals with earth, mysteries deal with the heaven, and within that within the Bible, framework of the Bible, you have a threefold division known as time past, but now, and ages to come. This is where we're at in the dispensation of grace. But as we're talking about fundamentals of dispensationalism, we're actually still in the time past time. Oh, well, wait a minute now. Did Jesus Christ die, was buried, rose again? So something's new happening. Was it something new happening? Huh?
No.
No, it wasn't. So we're still in that time past age. So I told you have Romans chapter 11, and we went through that in order to understand what was going on. You can see through Paul's epistles, Romans 11:11. Had they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. So they do fall, right? And it says, now if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Now in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes upon them, okay? And there's probably not a person that's listening, a probably person not sitting here, don't understand that the Holy Spirit fell on that little flock, that little remnant right there in Acts chapter 2, right? And you talk about people saying, we got to get back to the days of Pentecost. We got to get back to the days of Pentecost. You've heard that, right? I sure have. And what they're talking about, we need the Holy Spirit to fall on us. We need the Holy Spirit to do this and the Holy Spirit to do that. Well, we know it did that. Is that biblical?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And it, the Holy Spirit came upon them, Israel, and Israel still basically is in the driver's seat up here. The wall is still up. There's still a wall partition between Gentiles and Jew. You could not get a Gentile down here, even in the book of Acts, could not just go to get to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob without not still going through Israel. And when you're reading here, you're still in what time period?
Time past.
Okay? We got time past period. And that does not last though. And because Romans tells us not only did they stumble and not fall, but only in Acts chapter 2, verses 2-7, did the opportunity and a renewed offer of repentance. That's why we talk about back over here in Genesis to Malachi, kingdom prophesies, right? They're talking about a prophesied kingdom to come. That's where their eternal life is going to be. Heaven on earth, okay? Then when the Lord Jesus Christ shows up in the earthly ministry to the nation Israel only, now, that's hard to swallow sometimes, ain't it? When you talk about, what do you mean Jesus Christ didn't come for me? You ever had that? You can run people off by saying that. And it's sad, but true. He came to his own.
Right.
He came to the Jews. His blood was shed for many. That many is not all. So back here in this earthly ministry of Israel only, the kingdom is at hand. John the Baptist preached it. Lord Jesus Christ preached it. The 12 apostles was commissioned to preach it. Then he died and buried and rose again. And in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, the kingdom is offered. It's not offered to them back here. That's weird, isn't it? It's at hand, but it don't get offered till he finishes what has been prophesied. He's
right.
Coming to die.
Right.
And I've had people tell me that the mystery program that you guys say that was a mystery was that Christ died and buried and rose again. No, it's not. Psalms 22. Isaiah 53. What else? What's the gospel of God based out on? You should know this. Test time.
First Corinthians.
No, that's gospel of God, gospel of Christ. But where do you find him that he's supposed to be sending a redeemer?
Genesis 3:15.
That's right there. Hello, gospel of God. Everybody preached that, should have known that, that he's going to come and send a redeemer, and only his son could redeem them. So right here, there's a renewed opportunity for the nation Israel to get right with God. So they don't have to go through that wrath period, the tribulation period. Wouldn't that be a great thing?
Amen.
If you know that that time period's coming, and it's prophesied that it's going to be here, the Antichrist, Daniel, 70th week of Daniel, it hasn't come yet. 49 weeks to determine on their people and that type of thing. So they're going to happen over here, and they should have known that. But there does come a time at the death of Stephen when they fall. They haven't fallen yet. They don't fall at the cross. They stumbled at the cross. When I say they, the nation Israel. Okay, the little flock is saved. Okay, they're not getting out of it. They're not losing anything. And there is a fall, and there is a time when the fall of Israel does take place. And when that takes place through the fall of Israel, salvation goes to the
Gentiles.
Hey, you should be walking on your pews right now. You should be jumping up in glory. You should be speaking in tongues right now, just jokingly. But I'm saying that's good news.
Amen.
You're going to see some things today that's like, whoa. And now it's important to understand that the fall takes place at the death of Stephen. It don't take place anywhere else. And that's what the book of Acts is doing. As you look through fundamentally, look at the book of Acts, it's the fall. It's talking about the fall and diminishing and the stumbling and also doing away with them. And what is the issue of Israel after the fall? Did God just dump them? Did walk away from them?
Mm-mm.
We saw him in times past get up from the mercy seat, go to the threshold, go to the wilderness, out in the foot. He left them, gone, that type of thing. But he just don't dump them at the fall right here. Okay, they stumble, but did they fall? God forbid. And they do not fall straight down. Okay? Some of us, if you're going to stumble down a hill, you can roll down a hill, right? But if you stumble off a cliff, that's a straight fall. You know what I'm talking about? He didn't just take them to the cliff and push them off. Okay? They fall and they are diminishing away. There is a diminishing of Israel, and it takes place until Acts 28. And Paul gets saved. We're at? In Acts chapter 2?
No.
Acts chapter 9. So we're talking about the fall right here. And then they start the diminishing. And Paul gets saved right here in Acts chapter 9. And the ascending of the mystery program extends forward. However, the book of Acts is not designed to, and its purpose is not to explain to you what God is going to lay out in Romans through Philemon. A lot of people will try to do that. Take the book of Acts, see, this is what Romans is doing. Now, you can find where he wrote the book of Romans, and you can find where he wrote the book of Galatians, and you can find where he wrote those books. But you can't take those books and explain what he's doing in Romans. That's what happens to a lot of brothers out there, and they get caught up and, oh, now they're Acts 28ers, that type of thing. And we looked at some of that stuff a couple weeks ago. If you want to understand the dispensation of grace, what books do you have to get in? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? Mm-hmm. Hebrews through Revelation. You got to get in Romans through Philemon to understand what he's doing in the dispensation of grace. Just like we got in the dispensation of kingdom in Matthew. And the dispensation of law back over here in Genesis through Malachi. And you get in over here in Hebrews to Revelation, understand the dispensation of the kingdom. Again, when it's fulfilled. And you have his ministry being explained in those books. But the book of Acts is designed to show you the fall and the diminishing of Israel. And you might be thinking, well, what do I need to know about this for? We're going fundamentals of dispensationalism. If you're going to be able to share somebody about what the Bible is doing, and it's the theme of the whole Bible is about sitting on a throne over the entire universe, you have to know these books and what the movement is and what's going through. Because you know people by here try to teach you there's only one gospel, there's only one kingdom, and there's only this and that, and it's always mainly through Israel. And they try to be you part of Israel's program. And God's not dealing with that. The program starts out okay. They stumble, but they have not fallen. Right? They're giving them a renewed opportunity. And then the program that once was running fine is interrupted, and then it's set aside. That's what a lot of people don't see. That's what a lot of people's pride will stop them and say, no, no, no. God's still dealing with Israel. Well, if he's still dealing with Israel, and Israel's still his chosen people, why is the world like it is right now? Why ain't they in control over the world? Why ain't there God's cities sitting on the throne? You know what I mean? Why ain't the kingdom there? Why ain't the, all this stuff happening? I think you know the answer to that. And the books of Acts is designed to show you why God was just and right doing, and what he was did is setting aside the nation Israel. Romans 11:11 says what? I say then, have I stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. You know what that means? God protest. I protest. It did happen. But rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. You have to take a point in time in history and to identify this point as the point of the fall of Israel. And the declaration of Israel's leaders in Jerusalem involves the death of Stephen. It is recognized in your Bible as official. It happened. After Acts chapter 7, there is no further offer of the kingdom ever made to the nation Israel. That's something to think about. Mm-hmm. In Acts chapter 7, the nation is considered to be fallen. Now, you might want to write this down in your notes or keep it in your frame of reference. But prior to Acts 7, God dealt with the world. God so loved the world. How did he deal with them? Through Israel. Amen. And God dealt through the circumcision in times past. Circumcision, uncircumcision. Jew, Gentile. But in Acts chapter 7 onward, he no longer dealt through Israel, although he did deal with Israel from Acts chapter 7 to Acts 28. You see, you know what I'm saying there, right?
Right
here, he dealt through Israel. God up here, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel, and the world. He dealt through them. God so loved the world that he gave his own. He loved that world, he loved that system so much that he died for it. And if you wasn't in that world, okay, you was outside of that world. And the only way you could get in that world system is what? Through Israel. Amen. In other words, he dealt and deals with Israel until Acts 28. But in the stoning of Stephen, they forfeited temporarily the privilege of being that channel of salvation to the nation. Now, you're talking about giving up power. You're talking about what? God's not doing this any longer? You mean to tell me that's what they was dealing with? Listen, in the world system out there today, the God of this world is worrying. There's people out there will cut your throat to stay where they're at. You know what I'm talking about? They don't want to give up that power. They don't want to give up dominion. You see that all over the world. So why would it be any different in times past in the religious system? Do you know there's some religious systems out there that they will run over top of you to stay in power? and keep controlling you. Some of you lost a lot of your life savings being involved in that stuff over the years. Now there's a difference between God dealing through Israel and God dealing with Israel. We talked about God, the Holy Spirit's with you, or how is it baptized? By and with the Spirit, right? A little difference. He dealt through Israel because of what kind of covenant did God
build? Abrahamic covenant.
The Abrahamic covenant. And what was the Abrahamic covenant again?
Land.
Bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you.
Okay, it talked about a nation. Through the nation, I can promise you a nation, and the land. And that land that Abraham looked over there, way over there, that God told him to get up and walk, that's a big piece of real estate. And that's what he promised. And that's where their eternal life was going to be over there. Hey, when Israel finally went into the promised land, that was probably a joyous day for them. You know that? Mm-hmm. But they had to fight for it. They was strongholds. There's six Jezunites, all them ites over, Hezekites, there's six of them named over there, and they must have been, you know, stronger than strong. There's Satan strongholds over there, guys. Satan had his armies in this earth over there, and God told him, go in there and wipe them all out. I'm with you. Wipe them all out. But to have those six names there, and I can't pronounce them, I can't name them, but they're in your Bible. There was evil. That was probably the six most ungodly armies of the world right there, and God dealt with them. But he deals with through the Abrahamic covenant. And this salvation will go to the Gentiles through Israel. We always know that there's always been an opportunity in time past for a Gentile to be saved. Don't ever think they're not. They were. And he dealt with Israel during the diminishing period because they was a remnant. Okay? Reason why he's dealing with Israel. Now, when he's dealing with Israel in this diminishing period, are they saved Israelites or are lost Israelites? That's a question then. I mean, think about that for a minute. There's always been there's a remnant according to election of grace among the unbelieving Israelites out there that God wanted to be saved and come into the body of Christ. See? That's why he just didn't cut them off. He wanted, there's a bunch of unbelieving Jews out there that Paul was going to reach and say, hey, we got to reach these to get them in here.
Second chance.
Okay? The reason that he dealt with them in Acts chapter 7 through 28 is because there's a remnant according to election of grace found among unbelieving Israel. Now, what do you know about the word election in your Bible? What's it for?
The nation of Israel.
Not only the nation of Israel, but what's it for?
Service.
Service. It ain't like you're elected to go to heaven and you're elected to go to hell, like Calvinism talks about. It has to do with service. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. It had to do with service. Who's going to be elected to serve in God's manner? So there's election of grace out there amongst the unbeliever that he wanted to be saved. I'd be willing to say that's been fulfilled in that diminishing period. Did not Paul go to the Jews and some unbelieved?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That type of thing. So God wanted those unsaved Jews saved. God's will is to have all men to be saved and come to knowledge of truth. Therefore, he causes the Apostle Paul to conduct his Gentile ministry in such a way to witness to those people about God's change in the program in them. If you notice that, where did the signs go to? Who had, before Apostle Paul came on the scene and started ministering to Gentiles and they got saved, who was the sign gifts to?
Israel.
Okay. Who talked in tongues?
Israel.
Okay. Who did all the healings and stuff like that? Israel. Through Israel. And that's why tongues and signs and miracles, gifts among the Gentiles were that for that time period of time. When Paul started going to, lo, I turn to the Gentiles, they will hear you. We looked at those verses. And he turns to the Gentiles get saved, they start speaking in tongues. That's why you got these churches out here, these Gentile churches, that's trying to do a Jewish service, trying to continue speaking tongues. Okay? And what would that do if you were a Gentile and you started getting the Holy Spirit amongst you and started speaking in tongues in their languages and started touching people and getting healed? What would that do to a Jewish person? That
it'd get his attention.
It should provoke them to what?
Jealousy.
Jealousy. Okay? Now, we got a provoking ministry, guys. Now, so it can provoke people to anger. I think many of you know that. But we also got to provoke them to show those people what God is doing today. He's not doing this today. Tongues, they shall cease. Prophecies, they shall fail. But the word of God is sure. So you take the word of God over anything that's happening out there. And, you know, that's not taking your faith away. You should have faith in the word of God, what he's doing, versus faith in the word of man, what they're doing, saying God's doing it. But after Acts 28, all that of that is over with. By the time you get down here, the Gentiles are not speaking in tongues no more. Sign gifts are gone. Mm-hmm. You have a completed word of God. You with me? Okay. God kept some of those things in Paul's ministries while he was dealing with Israel. Not the Gentiles. But after the diminishing period is over, and only the things that was introduced by Paul's ministry and Paul's special message continues. In Romans 11, it's important to understand the things about the fall and the diminishing. They stumbled at the cross, but they did not fall. You've got to see that, guys. You've got to understand that. Most of the fundamentals puts the fall of Israel where at. Early learning Bible study, where did the fundamentals, so Bible people, teachers that's teaching you, where did they place the fall of Israel at?
At the cross.
At the cross. And some old-timers back there picks even Matthew 11 and 12. They take you back in the book of Matthew. But most of Schofield, Larkin, and Ryrie kind of dispensations, the Acts 2 people puts the fall at the cross. That's why I say all the time when that guy with the PhD sit right there in his second seat right there, and we was talking about Ephesians chapter 2 about by the cross, not at the cross, by the cross things happen at Paul's. He just couldn't get over that two-letter word, at or by. Oh, it's at the cross things change. At the cross things change. Did it? No, you're looking at some things right now. The things are continuing in that. And they stumble, but they don't fall until later. They fall at the renewed opportunity repentance is given to them. And the ministry of Apostle Paul is based on the fact of the fall of Israel. And the ministry of Apostle Paul is based upon getting God setting Israel aside. Hey, I hope we get down through this. I think we will. Romans chapter 11, where you're at, go to verse 15. For the casting away of them, who's them?
Nation Israel.
Is it the nation Israel, or who's Paul dealing with?
He's unbelieving.
Unbelieving Israel, okay? He's not going to cast away the believing Israel. Y'all know that, right? The reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Now, the casting away of them, Israel, results in the reconciling of the what? Hey, with Israel is when Israel's out of picture, how can God, who's he going to reconcile to himself?
The rest of the world.
The world, yeah. Now we can, now he can go to the world outside of Israel. Because what was the promises? Through Israel. The term reconciliation, guys, the word reconcile means to change the status of something that from being an outcast to being acceptable, from being an enemy to a friend. We talk about being reconciled all the time, don't we? Have you ever reconciled? Well, no, he's an enemy. He's never going. Have you reconciled? We use that term, right? They want to come back together. And the casting of Israel results in the world being put into a position of favor with God again. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The world could not be reconciled to God except the nation of Israel be set aside. And the Gentiles are in a low position of relationship to God. Why? We was what?
Enemies.
Enemies. We was ungodly. We was alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. Strangers from the covenants of promise.
Having no hope.
And without God in the world. The middle wall partition is in the way, guys. There's a middle wall partition right here that a Gentile could not go across. It meant death that they went across there. Unless they went the way God through Israel told them to. Had to be circumcised. Okay? They can't get across it. And God has set Israel aside in order to do favorably with all the Gentiles. This should be exciting. That's exactly what Paul's ministry is about. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. And time passed. You think the circumcision had to do anything with the flesh?
Yeah.
Y'all awake? Hey, remember, if I put you to sleep, I'm wake you up. I'm just... You too out there in the camera.
Right.
There's some water. Anyway, you think it had to do anything with the flesh?
Yes.
Circumcision made my hands, okay? Made a difference. But now we know no man after the flesh. Do you see a difference in that?
Mm-hmm.
You should. Back there in time past, what a man was in the flesh made a difference. Did it not? Circumcision, uncircumcision.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But now does it make any difference?
No.
Whether you're in circumcision or out of circumcision, it don't mean a hill of beans with God today. Well, we're going to get to that point in a minute. Yeah, you're going to get that point. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. Now, where did you know Christ after the flesh?
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
That'd be a good answer, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Was he not in the flesh? Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was preached back there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the flesh. He wasn't preached in the spirit. Mm-hmm. He was a minister of the circumcision to who?
The Jews.
The Jews, the nation of Israel. Paul tells us that. But now, that's not the way we know him. Something new come about it. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that's in the but now period, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become what?
Yeah.
New. God today is forming a new creature called the church, the body of Christ. Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Mm. Verse 18. And all things are of God. Now, who writes the book of Romans? So when you're reading the book of Romans, you're reading about Apostle Paul. Now, was he saved in Acts chapter 2, or was he saved in Acts chapter 9? Mid-Acts.
Nine.
Okay. Was he saved down here in Acts 28, or was he saved in mid-Acts?
Mid-Acts.
And if you really want to know, Romans was written around Acts 20, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, so there's a lot of things taking place but before he writes the book of Romans. Verse 18, and all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing
I
am too.
Romans 5:18.
We need to be in 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Sorry, guys. I'm reading that. I'm like, wait a minute. This ain't what Romans tells you about. But it's still good stuff. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5 was there. Yes. Was reading down through there.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get back.
5:18.
Very good. 5:18. That follows after 17, which follows after 16. So it only makes sense that we're staying in the records. But anyway, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 5:18. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, why? Why has he given us the ministry of reconciliation? To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to who? To God. Why would Paul go out and preach to the world to be reconciled to God if the world was already reconciled to God?
Good question.
Was the world already reconciled to God?
No.
So if we got a ministry of reconciliation, you know, I tell people all the time, you better thank God there's a day of grace right now, because God is not imputing trespasses and sins to you right now. That's grace, guys.
Mm-hmm.
But there's going to come a time if you die, or if he comes and takes the church out of here, you ain't got a chance. There are four different kinds of reconciliations in the Bible. And the reconciliation of the world is a dispensational term about a change of status of the Gentiles when the fall of Israel takes place, or took place. Prior to the fall of Israel, you and I was on what side of the wall?
The wrong side.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because you, unless I know a couple of Hebrews, true born Hebrews, okay, they would have been on that side of the wall.
Mm-hmm.
God's side of the wall. But me, as a Scottish, Irish, indigenous, if I pronounced that right, heathen, Gentile, I would not have been on that side of the wall. I'd have been on this side of the wall. You with me? I was alienated. You know, I always kid people, you know, people ask me if I believe in ghosts and spaceships and all that stuff. I said, I believe in aliens. Because I was one of them. I was alienated. You know? But anyway, that's a little joke. But we Gentiles was on the outside of that wall. And with the fall of Israel, what happens? With the fall of Israel, what happens to me down here?
Salvation comes to the Jews.
Okay? What happens? The world is put into a position that we are no longer without access to who? God. Now you and I, with that falling of Israel and the diminishing of Israel, salvation is gone to the Gentiles, and you have access to God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now you got to watch that, because when you talk to people, just talk with them, say, Oh, you know, I pray to God. Well, what God do you pray to? Well, you know what God. No, tell me what God you pray to. Will they say Jesus Christ is the God? Some won't. Are you talking about God of the Bible? That's how I describe God, the Creator, God of the Bible.
The three in one.
Yes, they're all in one, but there's many gods out there. Amen. That's what I'm trying to say. Do you pray to Allah? Yeah, Allah's not the God of the Bible, people.
Right.
And it's just confusion, and it's just religion. And now God has set Israel aside and treats all men exactly alike. He treats you and I. He's not a respecter of persons. You do know that. Mm-hmm. He's not going to favor you over you. Well, he seems like God's dealing in your life a lot better than he's dealing in my life. Well, what kind of choices you make? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? What are you doing in your life that you're making bad choices because your finances or your health issues? Well, God's not saying, here, you take this medicine and you take this financial support. You make that decision. What I'm getting at, he's not a respecter of persons. That's hard for people to understand. It ain't for me. Hey, I would love nothing more to be on a side that God's given me favors. You know, people all the time, I'll tell people when it's raining somewhere and they need rain, I say, look, you prayed to preacher this week. You ever heard that? Like, if the crops are growing and it's raining when it was a drought, I said, you prayed to preacher this week, didn't you? You got in favor with God. You know, that type of thing. That's not real. Okay? Absolutely total equality. The changing of the status of the world. That's happened. Okay? It didn't happen over here. It's happening through the fall and diminishing. And verses 18 and 19 are talking about is the fact that back in times past, the world did not only have, they didn't have any hope and was not salvageable. That's hard to believe, ain't it? You had to get on this side of that wall to get God's favor. You had to get on this side of the wall to get his blessings. You stayed down here. Remember what Romans 1 talks about? God gave us up. God gave us over. He gave the world over to what they wanted. Does it look like the world's still getting what they want out there?
Sure are.
You know, they are, aren't they? I mean, you think about what's going on out there. It ain't changed. It ain't changed at all. But now the world is savable. Every man, any man, can get saved today.
Amen.
That's good news, guys. Mm-hmm. And back in time past, only those that went through the Jews, went through the wall partition. By the way, that wall partition's still up right here. Right here in this opportunity time. The wall is still there. There's still a distinction. But now there is no wall. The world has immediately access to God through the faith in Christ Jesus. Listen, if you're lost today and you try to pray to God the Father, does he hear you? If I'm a lost man, oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. One, what God is he praying to? What God is he asking?
He's not the mediator.
Who's the mediator?
Jesus Christ.
Amen. You have to acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior before God the Father listens to you. Mm-hmm. I believe that wholeheartedly, guys.
Yeah.
He's the mediator. It ain't me the mediator between me and you and God. It's not a priest. It's not a religion. It's Jesus Christ. And it's the faith in Christ. That change takes place And it's revealed only through Paul's ministry. Okay? That change. And it's the basis of Paul's ministry, and it starts back there in Acts chapter 7. Now, Acts chapter 7, we got a few more minutes. We started on time this morning, didn't we? Acts chapter 7. You remember what? Acts chapter 7, Stephen is standing before the Sanhedrin, or the Senate Council of Israel, preaching to them about their blindness, their rejection of the Messiah, and the need to trust him. Hey, this guy didn't bend no words. This guy was up there full of the Holy Spirit, and he was giving them, he was preaching to them. Much like what Peter was preaching to the 15 nations of Jewish there in Acts chapter 2. Peter's preaching to them. And Stephen says to them in verse 51, chapter 7, verse 51, ye brothers and sisters and in Christ, open your ears, hearts and ears.
No, preacher.
You love the Holy Spirit as your fathers did.
No.
What's he say? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. You think that perked him up?
Burned him up.
Notice the terminology here. You're talking about the heart. Notice the terminology here. Uncircumcised in what? Hearts and ears. Now you think that is the believers or non-believers?
It's the non-believers.
So they were physically circumcised, but they didn't have the heart faith that the physical circumcision was intended to represent. And the physical circumcision was a sign from what? Who started the circumcision? Who started what covenant?
Abrahamic
covenant. But according to Romans chapter 4, it was a sign and seal of righteousness that they had by faith. Was these guys circumcised in the flesh?
Yeah.
He's talking to them? Absolutely they was. But where was they uncircumcised at?
In their heart.
And it was an outward expression, you probably heard this all the time, of their inward faith in God's word to them. But they didn't have the faith. Hey, hold your finger there.
Can you think about that for just a minute? And as you think about circumcision and the law, and how old was a Jew when they got circumcised?
They was 8 days old.
8 days old.
Yeah.
So it was a sign.
Yeah.
That they grew up being taught while they got circumcised.
Right.
So the physical circumcision was not a ceremony or an epiphany or a change of life. It was a law that happened. At 8 days old, you don't have a clue what's happening to you. You don't have a choice. You're just a baby. But you grew up with that, and it was a reminder. But that heart circumcision is about a belief and a faith in a God that you were taught why you looked the way you did.
And that's why Stephen's telling them this. You're uncircumcised in the heart and ears. We know about your physical situation. You've been taught that.
Right.
You know, but Romans chapter 10, Paul says this in Romans chapter 10. Brethren, verse 1. Now, when he says brethren, Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11, he's dealing with the Israelites, okay? My heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have the zeal of God, but not according to what?
Knowledge.
Hey, you're uncircumcised in heart and ears. You have the zeal of God. You want to do God's will, but not according to what? The Word of God.
Right.
not according to what ye should be doing by faith. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Do you understand what that says? Hey, they could have been saved by faith over here, but what did they choose to do? Ignore knowledge and go on and get uncircumcised in heart and ears. There's people like that today. There's people like that today. Oh, I know who Jesus Christ is. I trust him. But they're still uncircumcised in heart and ears. They will not hear the truth. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not your and I job to judge anybody, right? We just give them the truth. Let the word, but God will deal with them unless their ears are stopped up and they're uncircumcised in the heart. I said that because that tells me, back there in times past, these guys should have known it's all about faith. But no, what did they do? They go around, look at me, I'm circumcised. Abraham's my father. What do we find out what Jesus Christ said about calling Abraham your father? He can raise up stones to say that. It don't mean nothing. You're uncircumcised in your heart and ears. Mm-hmm. That's powerful, guys. Mm-hmm. These guys should have known but willfully ignored what God was doing by faith.
Because they were full of their own righteousness.
They had the religious externalism, but they didn't have the faith to go along with that. Now, what if they did? What if they did have the physical circumcision and all this stuff and the knowledge and had the faith?
They were in a little flock.
Paul did.
Yeah, Paul did. Well, Peter did eventually. They would have been right there with him. He's the Messiah. He's the one we're looking for. But what he say in verse 51, 751, Acts? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in the heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. I might have to use that in some situations. It ain't gonna be happy. I might come in with a little black eye and a busted lip. But anyway, I don't put myself in those situations. Probably in times past, people would love to kick my teeth out when I say this stuff, but they was gracious to me. But look, and Stephen pronounced unto them the issue of, blaspheming and resisting and speaking against the witness of God's Spirit through the little flock, the Jewish believers. He's going to say, if you read that up there, what he's saying to them, the whole story in chapter 7, he starts back there in Abraham, and he walks all the way through to where they're at. And then he says, you stiff-necked. And Israel has rejected God the Father when he spoke to them through who? Who did God the Father sent down to speak to
me?
Who?
The prophet.
No, he's got he always talked to the prophets, but who did God the Father sent personally?
John the Baptist.
To the nation of Israel to tell and talk to him. John the Baptist. He's a man sent from God. God the Father sent John the Baptist down there. And what did he do? John the Baptist says, he that sent me, the God the Father. He was the man sent from God the Father to Israel, and they what? Allowed who to kill him? Herod to kill him. They allowed that. Then the God the Son on Calvary, and they demanded, away with him, kill him, crucify him. They speak evil. Now, God the Father, God the Son, now you have Stephen over here. The last chance, guys. Last chance. And Stephen stands in Acts chapter 7, full of the Holy Ghost, who represents the little flock's witnesses. He's in front of that Sanhedrin. He's in front of that Senate Council. He's given them the last opportunity renewed to get inside that little flock so they won't have to go over here. And they don't just allow somebody to kill him.
They do it.
Exactly.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. They allowed Herod to kill John the Baptist.
And Jesus.
And Pilate. And the Gentile to kill, you know, that type of thing, even though their hands was in it. But what do? They don't like, they just don't demand somebody to kill him. They go and kill him themselves. They murdered the guy by stoning him. Mm. Their guilt was just binding up, building up. And you know, when you have strike one, playing the game baseball. Strike two. Strike three, take a base. Right?
No. You're out.
You're out. Go sit down. You can argue that point to that umpire all you want to. He calls you out, you're out. And the guilt was building up there. And you know what happens? You're out, the inning's over. The ending over. And before you get there, okay, they stone Stephen. And stone Stephen. And Stephen tell, you know, even Lord Jesus Christ talks about if you speak a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven you. But if you speak a word against the Holy Ghost, that's what they're doing there, is blasphemy. That's what, it will not be forgiven you in this world, Israel, or the world to come. You understand that?
Yeah. They're lost forever.
Okay, they're lost. You blaspheme, you speak evil against the Holy Ghost. And I know we talked about this before, and we talked about it again. People said that's the only unpardonable sin today. You've heard that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But is it?
No.
Can you get, Apostle Paul?
A blasphemer.
Amen. Mm-hmm. God chose a blasphemer, an injurious, a murderer to be an apostle to the Gentile to show by grace. Through faith, you trust Christ Jesus, died, was buried, and rose again. He saves you. The only unpardonable sin today in a dispensation of grace is to die unsaved.
So those religious leaders that stoned Stephen have one more opportunity. Listen to Paul. Could they not?
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. Okay? But what's going to happen after this? So the fall of Israel takes place. God interrupts the prophetic point, program just at the point of verse 52. Acts chapter 7, verse 52. Which of the prophets have your fathers not persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now betrayers and murderers, who have received the law of the dispensation of angels and have not kept it. When they hear these things, they were rejoiced in their heart and said, we repent, we want to be baptized and get in a little flock. What do they say? When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Now, you know, back in Acts chapter 1, Jesus went up into heaven and sat down, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
In Acts chapter 7, Stephen's remembered that Jesus sat down. Peter in Acts chapter 2 says he's gone away and sat there at the Father's right hand until he times to make his enemies his footstool. That's what he says in Acts chapter 2, verse 34. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make my foes thy footstool. Now in Acts chapter 7, Stephen looks up and he sees Jesus Christ what?
Standing.
According to Acts chapter 2, Peter quotes Psalms 110 verse 1, talking about, I make the enemies my footstool. That's what he's quoting. The reason Jesus Christ is standing up, he's ready to pour out his what?
Right.
Yeah, I've heard this. They say he's standing up to welcome his faithful servant home, Stephen. He'd be doing a lot of standing. What, you know what I mean? He might as well stand up. But he's standing up to pour out his wrath, and you see the next thing in the prophetic program coming down this track is the fact that the tribulation is coming, and the wrath is getting ready to pour out over there in the tribulation period. And at just the point of the prophetic program had to come into place where the wrath of God and the tribulation that poured out, God in his infinite wisdom that no one knew about, he changes the program and postpones that program. Praise God, hallelujah. He interrupts that. He divides the book of Acts into half. And something starts new. And when he did that, he didn't just throw Israel aside. We'll pick this up, you know, next week. But with the next concern, but he diminishes dealings with them slowly over a time period to get that unbelieving Israelites a chance to get in the program here. Not in that kingdom program. You would not be saved in this world, talking about right here, or the world to come. They didn't know about this world that we live in today in the dispensation of grace. And he had Paul conduct his ministry in such a way to seek and save those unbelieving Jews. That's what his nature was? To go in that synagogue. Why would he go into a synagogue?
Those are his people.
Not only his brethren, his kinsmen in the flesh, mm-hmm. but what else is in there?
Unsaved Jews.
Not only unsaved Jews. We already established that. What else is in that synagogue?
The
Word of God. They had the Word of God there. What better way are you going to show that Jesus Christ, the one you crucified, that died and buried and rose again, is the Messiah? And by the way, I'm apostle to the Gentiles and you're all heathen. Boy, would they never. I bet they gnashed on their teeth. What are you calling me a heathen for? I ain't no Gentile. Oh, yes, you are. God made a distinction. There's no distinction. You have fallen. And he starts to explain the fall and diminishing that way. And you're like, no wonder he was beaten. No wonder he's shipwrecked, stoned.
A lot of pride.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Over and over and over and over. And as much as some of us feels like we're in pretty good shape, I don't think we could handle what Paul handled. Mm-hmm. Not the way we are, but he had a driving. God said he's going to show him some things, didn't he?
Well, Paul in his flesh couldn't handle what Paul handled. He had the Holy Spirit. His strength came from the Lord. I mean, he didn't do all those things by himself.
No, you're right. I mean, you think if our focus today and whatever we're going through, flesh, non-flesh, if we was just concentrating on who we are in Christ, that out there wouldn't mean nothing. You ain't got nothing on me. You know, we've got a lot of brothers and sisters going through some bad situations right now, physically, sicknesses, diseases, you know, illnesses. And you look at them and you want to pray for them. You pray for them and give them some word of encouragement, but you really have no idea what they're going through. Mm-mm. Unless you've been through it yourself. You know? And if you've been through it yourself, what had lifted you out of that was people around you and mostly the Word of God and your faith.
Amen.
Because if you take that faith away from somebody, that's why nations fall, isn't it? Okay, I'm going to take your faith. I'm going to strip you from your faith. I got to share this with you right quick. Y'all been to boot camp. You remember when you was in boot camp? They took that young little man that thought he knowed everything in this world, and they broke you, didn't they? They took you down to a level that showed you needed to know what they're doing versus what you were going to do. And they did that for a reason. They did that so when you came out of boot camp, you understood orders, you understood what you want to do, and you did it. Today, they give you a little stress card. And if that DI or TI stressed you out or told you to do something, they give that little card to that drill instructor, and that drill instructor can't do nothing about it. They can't get in your face no more and say, "You're not, your mama's not here, I'm your mama." You know what I mean? It's over with. They can't. And you wonder why we are the way we are. You wonder why things are going on. And I said that for because I know if you don't come to understanding what God is doing in a dispensation of grace through the ministry of Apostle Paul, you're not going to be able to understand and take orders and see what God is doing today.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was getting at. Okay? And whether you want to be broke down, but the ones that's in there doing that now with the stress card stuff, they're having some bad issues in their minds. They're more PTSDs, than they ever was. Because they're not being able to handle things that they should be able to handle from day one. After you came out them 6, 7, 8 weeks, you were like, whoa, okay, this is what I'm facing. This is how I'm going to handle it. Not, I'm going to take this over here and take this card to my commanding officer and he's going to let me out of it. Listen, in the dispensation of grace, you have to, you know, I'm serious. But then the dispensation of grace, you know, this is what God is wanting us to do, and it will build you up stronger than anything. And you'll be able to help somebody else. Father, once again, thank you for the time. Thank you for things given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you once again for listening and tuning in to our Dispensational Bible Church YouTube channel, our website, our Facebook page. And we love to hear from you. Message us and say hello. Until next week.